Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken Edwards, National Coalition of Labor. Ed Maher.
What's happening?
How are you?
I'm great.
Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council.
Happy Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday. Big, big day today.
Phil's amped.
Jacked.
Phil, all right, really quick, who's going to win?
You know,
have to go.
My heart is with Kansas City because yes, the Mid-America Carpenters represents the great state of Missouri, but I think that Philly might win this year.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Ed?
I don't care for Philly, but I want to see them win just to watch their fans destroy their city.
That is always a spectacle.
Yes.
Get up on light poles.
Some people just don't know how to act.
I think I'm going with Philly as well.
So yeah. You've got a bias. Yeah.
Yeah, well, my son is there. So yeah. Philly.
Will he be rioting in the streets if they win?
I hope he doesn't. Just here, Evan, don't do anything stupid.
Stay out of trouble, right? Evan.
Don't do anything stupid.
As your attorney?
Yeah. Actually, I think he's working for the game. Yeah, he is. So
he'll be making bank.
Oh, yeah. Today's a big day. And you know what the least productive day in the entire U.S. economy is?
Would it be the
tomorrow.
Monday after?
Yes. Tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Super Bowl Monday. I'm not kidding. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
Like when I was at 150 as a lawyer, I would just every single Super Bowl Monday, Ken, 14 of your guys didn't show up today. Ken, 12 of your guys didn't show up today.
Well, there's a lot going around.
Yeah, there's a lot going around.
Ken, the winter. Well, I know because they put it on the bulletin board that they were having a Super Bowl party. I was like, gosh, guys, come on,
super
man.
Super spreader event. Now they're all sick. You can't blame them for getting sick.
Speaking of sick, you know who's sick? Chickens.
They really are. And now, like, cows and dogs and cats, too.
Bird flu.
The bird flu. I mean, every time I wake up and I fry eggs on the stove, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not trying to brag or anything. You'd say things are going pretty well.
Rolling the dice, though, yeah, man. Jeez.
Because you have eggs.
So, yeah, I can afford a couple eggs. I eat more than one at a time.
Wow. I thought of you the other day.
Phil.
I will.
Ed, I thought of you.
Must be nice.
Because you know what Waffle House is doing? They're adding a 50-cent surcharge per egg.
Some things are worth spending money on, and that Waffle House is one of them.
50-cent surcharge per egg.
I know. This is insane because groceries were supposed to be cheaper.
Yeah, well, that's not happening.
Waffle House, 50 cents an egg. That's like the cost of the whole egg.
That means Denny's going to follow suit. That means
everybody's doing
it. Yeah, you can't just be
the
only.
But here's the thing.
The price of food is going up.
You can't blame that on Trump, right? The bird flu thing, right? That's not his fault. However, I've been reading that you can't get it. Well, now, that being said, there are poultry workers that are getting it.
They're
dying. Yeah, if you get bird flu, you have 50% chance of dying.
Wow.
Whoa.
So, yeah, poultry workers, right? So, going back to immigration and all that kind of stuff, et cetera, et cetera. I think you can
get
it.
Hey, U.S. citizens, want to be a poultry worker right now?
Hey, kids in Iowa.
Yeah.
Timmy and the meat processing.
Yeah, Timmy, get out of the meat plant and come work at a poultry plant.
Because they've been just knocking at the door to get into that industry. We know that.
But listen, you know, if you touch a chicken or whatever, you know, I think that you can get it. So be careful for people that have chickens. And I also don't know if you know this, but it is Elon Musk's birthday coming up. And you know what I got him?
What'd you get him?
A chicken.
Nice. I thought you were going to say you got him a one-way ticket back to South Africa.
That and a chicken.
Keep him company.
His support pet. So that's our funniness for the day. In other news, 10,000 grocery workers in Denver, 10,000 are on strike. For a Kroger-based company called King Super.
Oh,
you heard of this?
I have, yeah.
Super, S-O-O-P-E-R. It's a weird name.
They're the big chain in,
is that right?
In Denver and Colorado.
10,000 of them are on strike right now.
Wow.
I mean, that's massive.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10,000 grocery workers. I mean, that's enough to really, really slow things down for a whole big city like Denver. Denver's not a small town.
Yep.
It is crazy. But we do have a really cool show for you today. We have Sarah Lyons and one of her workers named Floor.
Yoa.
Yep. From Unite Here, talking about the dispute at the Cass Hotel. And then we have a really, really great immigration attorney named Lauren McClure, who does work for the National Coalition of Labor as well, talking about immigration, which is obviously is a major, major issue. So we'll be right back with those guests and more of the Workers Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, Phil, and we are stoked today to have with us two guests from Unite Here. Sarah Lyons, hello.
Hello.
Good morning. Welcome back. Yeah, good morning. Yeah, welcome back. That's right.
Good to be here.
Yeah, we like your union. You guys are tough, right, and aggressive.
Absolutely.
Scrappy.
That's what you have to do. I mean, you rack up a lot of wins.
Yeah, they certainly do. And so, Sarah, you are the communications director for Unite Here, Local One.
That's right.
Local One, by the way, which means the first one in the United States, correct?
Yes.
Sure.
It really does mean
that. I know that. Chicago has more Local Ones than any other city.
Is that right?
It's a fact that I always remember from my good friend Bob Ryder.
Oh, there you go.
Is that real?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it is. Bob said it.
Okay, got it.
It must be real.
It is.
Bob said it.
Don't question the Bob.
All right. So, quick overview, Sarah, of Unite Here for those that are just joining us.
Sure. Our union is the Hospitality Workers Union for mm-hmm. Chicago and the surrounding area. We represent about 15,000 hospitality workers.
Nice.
Hotels, food service, casinos. When you think hospitality, that's us.
And you guys have an apprentice program.
We do.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think that's the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Right? People think like, oh, food service, whatever. I can just go do it. I'm, you know, whatever. But you guys actually have an apprentice program for this.
That's right.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yuchi, culinary apprenticeship.
Everybody thinks it's easy to cook. It's not.
Or to make drinks, or to be a server, or be on your feet for 14 hours a day and, you know, get abused by patrons. I mean, it's like the same as like we said, like when the flight attendants are here, right? It's not an easy job.
No.
By any means.
Yeah.
But it's low paid.
That's
and
right.
It shouldn't be. But
that's
you
right.
guys make sure that it's not so low paid.
And your locals covers Cook County and beyond, or?
Yes. So Cook County, and then we have members in Northwest Indiana in the casinos, folks in Joliet also in casinos, and some in the outskirts as well.
Maybe they could help you, Ed, with the casinos.
Nobody can help me with the casinos. Should just throw my money in a trash can.
Like you're about to do for the Super Bowl tonight.
Yeah.
Go Birds.
We should probably add a gambling addiction disclaimer to this week's show.
If you have a problem.
Yeah, that's right. So, all right, Sarah, with you today on the phone, you have one of your members.
That's right.
You want to introduce her?
Sure. Today we have Flor Uyola from the Cass Hotel, a leader who's been in our union for many years, 15 years as a housekeeper there.
Wow. Hey, welcome, Flor.
Thank you. My name is Flor Uyola. And I working for the hotel car for almost 16 years, and I do housekeeper.
And so, let's talk about why you're on the phone with us today. The Cass Hotel is a small hotel, right? It's downtown near the Phil. It's near where you are, right?
Right. River North.
It's a
boutique.
Is it really?
I think so.
Well, would you consider it a boutique hotel?
Yeah, it is now a Holiday Inn Express branded hotel, but
it
also has a historic plaque on front. It's been around for many years. We've represented workers there for over two decades, and it's about 175 rooms, I would say.
Wow. And so it's not just Unite Here. There is also Local 399 of the operators who have the stationary engineers.
Yeah, they maintain all the mechanical systems.
And there's only a few of them there, not nearly probably as many as you guys have. But
and it's just down the street from the temporary casino, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So you would think that it's going to be crowded, right? And maybe make some money.
Right.
And so it was sold, correct, last year?
Correct. It came under new ownership in May 2024.
And a company called?
Garnet Hotels, Florida-based.
Florida.
And so far, we don't really like Garnet Hotels, I don't think.
No, we don't.
Dun, 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 dun. Whenever you say Florida, that's where you need a boo button.
Hold on a second.
Cue.
We got one.
Yes. All right, so it was bought by this company. And I heard, or at least I read, that it was like a fire sale, right? Yep. They bought it for pretty cheap.
Right. At COVID, you know, the hotel had been closed for about two to three years.
Wow.
And reopened and then was sold in about a year later in 2024.
All right. So you guys have a contract, right? And my understanding is that you were in the midst of renegotiating a new contract. And so, Floor, you've been there for 15 years. You had the union's health insurance. I'm going to focus on this for a second here, right? So, Floor, you had the union's health insurance, correct?
Yes, we have union insurance health.
Yep.
And now, for the new company right now, they doesn't want it. They give us insurance, so they cut it last year for October. Mm-hmm. So we don't have any cover right now.
So you're not covered at all right now?
No, we're not covered. Yeah, and they don't want to give us insurance.
I didn't know that. Okay.
So
I,
they just unilaterally came in and decided to cut the health insurance.
Mm-hmm. They cut it off. And then recently, Floor, you said that they had offered a company plan. But tell us, how much was that going to cost you?
Almost $800 for a month.
Wow.
For a family,
exactly,
right?
What they wanted, we pay for families.
And your union family.
For families, a little bit more expensive, like $1,200, something like that.
Oh, my God.
A month?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's too much.
That's crazy. I mean, that's like that's probably 50% of the cost.
And the union health insurance was free for individuals and, what, $30 a month, I think, for family coverage?
For family, right. Floor, what did you have for union health insurance?
For the union, we have I have family, mm-hmm. but it's much better because it's like the best insurance what we have before.
Yeah,
and it's free for employer and $30 for a family.
So let me ask you this question, Floor. When they took away your insurance, did they tell you that they were taking it away? Did they give you notice and say, hey, by the way, on such and such a day, you're not going to have insurance anymore?
They don't say anything.
They said nothing. That's nice.
Nothing. They don't say anything.
And how do you find out? When you go to the doctor and you hand in your card and they say, oh, this card is no good anymore? Like, Sarah, how did you guys find out?
We were told by our the union health fund that the company had stopped making payments.
Okay.
And thus the health insurance was going to run out.
And that payment, the health insurance, obviously was a creature of the collective bargaining agreement, right?
Correct.
So they violated the collective bargaining agreement.
Correct. We stipulate this was an illegal cutting off of union health insurance.
So as part of the collective bargaining agreement, there was a clause for health insurance in the contract, correct?
Correct.
And they simply stopped paying that health insurance contribution to your fund. Your fund finds out, tells you guys and the workers, hey, you're not insured right now. And then the hotel then, what, waits a month or two, leaves people uninsured, and then offers you their plan?
That's exactly right.
Oh, my gosh.
We had a rally where we sort of called it out. Floor gave some remarks about the impact of this. That was in November. And it wasn't, I think, until mid-December where the company said, well, here's a proposal for some sort of insurance that turned out to be wildly unaffordable. Yeah.
So, yeah. Flora, could you afford
$1,200 increase in what you're paying?
Yeah, right, yeah. You went from nothing to $800 right. a month or $1,200. Flora, on your wages, could you afford that kind of health insurance?
No, this is too much.
Yeah, of course.
We can.
I mean, that would put you money backwards, right? Yeah. So if you're talking about $800 a month, you're talking about $9,600 a year,
right?
I mean, that's almost 10
grand. You have to live
in
the hotel. Yeah. You can't pay rent anywhere if you're paying that much for health insurance.
Well, and once again, the hotel is downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like you can live in a suburb 180 miles away where the cost of living is cheaper. You have to live somewhere that you can get to work, right?
Yeah.
As a lot of your members do.
Right.
So what happens then? So they say, okay, here's a plan. Have at it. Does any of your members take the plan?
I mean, what I understand is that it's wildly unaffordable.
Yeah.
And so people can't afford it.
Nobody's got that
right
kind
now.
Of buffer. If you're used to paying $0 or $30 a month for health care, you're spending the rest of your money on, transportation or your mortgage or your rent or whatever, and it goes up to $700, $800, $1,200 a month, you don't have that just sitting around to be like, okay, well, it's a lot, but I'm going to buy it. I mean, the money's just probably not there.
Right.
So what did you guys do? You filed litigation?
We filed a charge with the NLRB
what is that?
The NLRB, the agency formerly known as the NLRB.
Does it still exist?
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah, a couple more days maybe.
And did you file a grievance as well under the contract or explain that?
Yeah, we did. We've taken all the actions that we can and we got to keep the pressure on
And where's the mayor in this, right? Is the mayor, like, chimed in? Is the mayor, like, offered you guys help that he offers to some other union that he's friendly with?
Union. Just
look,
one.
We'll take all the help.
So the answer is no. He has not done anything. Well, maybe it's time
he is the union mayor. Oh. He is Chicago's union mayor.
One union.
Yeah. Looking out the window, I don't see him.
Well, we've been, you know, the whole labor community has really, I think, showed up and gotten the word out about
this. Have you had rallies, pickets, things like that?
We have. We had many picket lines. And I know our organizing director spoke at the Chicago Federation of Labor delegates meeting, and jointly with the operating engineers, we're getting the word out and gotten, you know, great solidarity response from the community.
So if you're listening to this show, pick up the phone and call. Is it still called the Cass Hotel?
Yep.
Okay. Do you have a phone number for it?
Sure. We actually have a phone number we've been sharing, asking people to call Garnet Hotels to let them know that folks deserve their union health insurance. And that number is 561
892-6628.
And we're asking people to let the owners of the Cass Hotel know that workers deserve their union health insurance. And that's both Local 1 housekeeping workers and the operating engineers.
$3.99. You know what? I mean, look, if that's your mode of doing business, to come in here, buy that hotel at basically a fire sale, right? And then come in here and slash and burn your employees, then we don't want your business here.
Well, your business model is broken. If you have to do that to people to turn a profit, then you don't deserve to be in business.
Or maybe don't buy the hotel if you can't afford to pay the wages. Like, look, if you're doing your due diligence, Sarah, right, and you're going to buy this hotel, I would assume that whoever is selling it said, look, here are all the contracts we have. Here's what our employees get paid, right? You're doing kind of your due diligence. Go, sure, we can afford to do this, right? Not like, we can only afford to do this if we cut off your health insurance and then try and charge you, you know, 1,000% more than what you were paying for it. I mean, that's just not a good business model. Yeah. And you know, look, Chicago's a strong union town, right? Unite Here, $3.99, all the laborers, et cetera, people in the labor world, you know, we want to stay at hotels that treat their workers correctly, right? Treat their workers right. With dignity, with respect, and to the extent possible, with free health insurance and a good wage, right? That's what unions are about. If they're not doing that here, and they had it here, right? The Cass Hotel had it. How long has the hotel been around?
We've had workers represented by Local 1 for over 2 decades.
I mean, that's amazing.
With union health insurance.
Yeah.
And so this company is going to come up here and think that they're going to just, you know, slash and burn this contract, rip it up and say, you know what? So all you guys think about striking?
You know, nothing's off the table. We're going to keep fighting until we get what we deserve.
Good. All right. Anything else that we can do?
No, just, you know, we appreciate the chance to be on here and let folks know, and appreciate the solidarity from the entire labor community that
we've seen. For sure. Hey, Floor, anything that you want to say before we go?
No, just only I'm going to say thank you so much for the opportunity. And we have to be strong. We have to win.
You're going to win. You're going to win. We're going to make sure
of a good union.
Yeah, you're in a strong union. Stick with it. We're gonna win this thing.
And
when I say we, I mean this is we, like in labor, right?
That's right.
Because one fight is everybody's fight.
That's right.
So, all right, listen, thank you so much, Floor, for taking the time to come on the air. Sarah Lyons, Communications Director for Unite Here, Local 1, thank you so much for coming down and shedding light on this. It's really important, and it's happening right here in our backyard here in Chicago. We cannot let that happen. And we will be back with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. We got a real local fight here going on at the Cass Hotel. So if you get an opportunity, listeners, give them hell. Tell them what you think about a Florida company coming to Chicago and treating its workers like they live in Florida.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
If they were living in Florida, that'd be all right, but not here.
How scary is that if you're someone like Flora where you're told, like, it's going to be $800 a month?
Well, now you look.
Insurance. I mean, that's.
Hey, Phil, you're uninsured.
Yeah.
Right? You're literally uninsured at this point, right? And so now what? Do you have to go on government assistance, right?
That's the question.
And is that going to be available anymore? Right?
Well,
are they going to take that away?
Because the government is trying to cut back on options for people who can't afford health care.
Right.
And companies are pushing people toward government health care.
Right.
Like, what's, you know, if there's
something's
nothing
there. Something's
got to
give.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could have died.
So, listeners, if you're against the abuse of government health care, you should be against companies that try to force their employees onto government health care.
Yeah, like Walmart.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, for sure. Anyway, Lauren McClure. You are an attorney. You're an immigration attorney.
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Yeah, we're in all seriousness, we're really happy that you came. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm a partner at Kreiselman, Burton & Associates, which is an immigration law firm here in Chicago.
Could you say that faster?
Kreiselman, Burton & Associates. Can you tell I say
spelled
it a lot?
Just the way it sounds. Yes.
Can't you just go like K, S, and B or whatever it is?
We sometimes will say K, B, and A. Yes.
There you go. K, yeah. B, and A. I like that better. All right. And where are you guys located?
We're located downtown Chicago.
All right.
We focus primarily on immigration law, all aspects of it, and keeps us busy, especially lately.
It's right. That's now, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Say, how long have you been a lawyer?
For about 12 years now. I've been a partner now for 3 at the firm.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
And so when are you going to get your name on there? K, B, A, and M.
Good question. Not really interested, to be honest.
Yeah,
silent partner.
That's what you said off the air.
We don't need any more letters to that name.
Good
I think
point.
We're good.
Very good.
Always use a few more letters.
All right. So you're an immigration attorney, and you went to Loyola, right?
I did.
Great school.
I actually went to undergrad and law school here in Chicago. I've lived here for a long time.
Oh, both at Loyola?
DePaul University for undergraduate.
Very nice. Very nice. Love it. So, all right. So you're born and raised here in Chicago?
No, I moved here when I was 18. So
where'd you come from?
Raised in Galesburg, Illinois, Central Illinois.
Okay,
yeah.
But you're from the Midwest. You're from Illinois,
and
you decided to practice immigration law.
I did.
All right, and you're not driving around in a Maserati, I'm assuming.
I am not. No,
it's like practicing labor law.
Right.
Yeah,
for the love of the game.
But you're doing it because why? Like, what made you get into immigration law?
My primary goal was to help people. I wanted to work with families and individuals and businesses and help people immigrate here and be able to bring family members here and start their lives here.
That's it? Seriously? That's the whole thing?
That's the whole thing.
I mean, good for you. I mean, that's seriously, like, we need more lawyers like that.
Yeah, Ken, right? Some people are well-intentioned. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
There are probably so many people who want to come here and do it, you know, by the book.
Right.
But how do you understand that process?
You need a lawyer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You do. It's a very complicated system. Our law hasn't changed since the 90s, unfortunately. So things have really piled on in terms of changes in administrations and different policies. And so it's really hard to keep up. And being a lawyer and helping people is a great way for me to do that. So,
good for you. Yeah. Good for you. No, you're right. Look, I'll say this as a union attorney as well, or anybody that works in a field such as ours, immigration, unions, you know, helping people, nonprofits, you know, it feels good, right?
It does.
And you're not getting rich, but so what? So here, I want to say this. Lauren McClure actually is the immigration attorney in the Chicagoland area for the National Coalition of Labor.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get an immigration case, right, so the NCL has a legal services program, which, Phil, we took from the Carpenters,
yep.
Right? We just took your program and expanded it.
Yep.
And so when we get a case that, you know, can't be answered on the telephone or whatever, we refer them to you.
That's right.
And you give our members a really great deal. And so tell us about that. If you're an NCL member and you pick up the phone and you call 877-694-2663, that's our legal services program. And they will refer you to whatever you need. So here we have our immigration attorney. As an NCL member, what would you get?
You get a free legal consultation with me.
Okay.
For now. If we get really busy, I'll have to rope in one of my associates to help me. Generally, it's a 30-minute legal consultation where we discuss the immigration options that you have. I get a variety of calls. A lot of them are actually from people who already have status here and just have a couple questions and just want kind of to run it by me as an immigration lawyer.
And it's free.
And it's free.
I mean, that's awesome, right? I mean, that's a benefit, Phil, of being in this coalition,
yeah.
Right? Leveraging our economies of scale. And then if it's something that can't be handled on a half-hour call, mm-hmm. and you have to, you know, do, you know, whatever it is that you have to do, you'll give them a discount, correct?
I will. I have an agreed discount of fees with the union. So we there's a list that they can provide to you that gives costs for all of my services. I just added on some additional ones with kind of what's happening now, some more fees for detention and other types of activities. So
all right. Well, look, we really appreciate that. And I have never heard a bad thing about you, to be honest with you.
Right? Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's nice.
It's always nice. Right.
Yeah, I'm serious. We'll get some, you know, every once in a blue moon, there'll be an attorney. Now, it doesn't happen very often, but like, oh, so-and-so didn't call me back. Like, I've never heard that from about you. So we appreciate what you do for our membership. It's important. But you'll also take just regular members, or not even members. You'll take anybody just that has a question, correct?
Of course.
They simply don't get the NCL discount unless they're part of that. And if somebody wanted to reach you, who would they call?
They would just call my law firm, 312-332-2550. That's our main line. You can call there and schedule an appointment with me or any of our other attorneys.
How many attorneys?
We have 10 total.
And all immigration?
We are all immigration. That's right.
So you have there's enough work to keep all 10 of you busy.
Definitely. We're actually trying to hire some more right now.
Sure. Really? The next 4 years, my Lord. Yeah.
Definitely. It's a very busy practice right now.
Is it scary right now? Like, I mean, what's going on in your world?
It's really scary.
Yeah.
I will tell you, we get calls from all walks of life, U.S. citizens, people with no status. It's a scary time. People hear the news and just don't know what to do. And luckily, they can call us and ask us, and we hopefully can make them feel a little bit better.
You know, I was thinking about this on the way in, Lauren. I was thinking about, like, you know, having to go like, hey, what happens to this? What happens to this? But it's so complicated and convoluted, and there's so many moving parts that I figured, like, you know what? I'm not even going to go down that road. Like, if you have a question or you're concerned about anything, like, Ed, you were talking about this. If you were here already, right? And you've been here for 10 years.
If you immigrated here,
yeah,
and went through the process and became a naturalized U.S. citizen,
right,
that doesn't mean that you're safe right now, which is insane, because you hear so much sort of rhetoric about immigration and the right way to do it and the wrong way to do it. But right now, it doesn't seem like the people who did it, let's just call it the right way, are even going to be protected potentially under some of these things.
Because, I mean, you can unnaturalize
you
them?
You can denaturalize
that
it.
Is insane.
And there's a process in place, and it's being talked about.
And I mean, why would that happen, Lauren? You said because
there's a variety of reasons. Usually it's if someone makes a mistake on their application and maybe, well, it could be a mistake or it could be intentional, you know, doesn't disclose certain information,
sure,
about an arrest, or maybe,
right,
doesn't disclose information about a child that they have or something else. The agency can basically just say that they misrepresented themselves or lied on their application and try to denaturalize them.
So do you think, like, so if somebody picks up the phone and calls you, right, and I want to make sure that every single person at least takes one thing away from this, and that is you have attorney-client privilege.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes.
If you get a free consultation, you still have attorney-client privilege, correct?
Yes, you do.
Explain that.
So when they call me, they can tell me anything, and I can't tell anybody else what they told me.
Very good. Okay. And I know that people are worried about that.
They definitely are. People are very worried about even just having their name in our system.
Yeah, right? Picking up the phone and going, you know, hey, what's your name? They not want to give their last name, for example.
Sometimes. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, they have to, because we have lots of clients. We have to keep everybody straight. But we do our best.
My name is Mary.
Yeah.
Hello, Mary.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
it.
People have the same first and last name, so that always makes it a little fun.
Oh, that's a good point.
But it's definitely important for them to know that when they call us, they will be protected, their information will be protected, and we will do our best to help them.
And you're going to fight for these folks, correct?
Definitely. We have a very robust removal practice where we go to court, immigration court, and fight for these people.
And what is immigration court? Is that a separate court? Is it federal? Is it state? Explain that.
It's a federal court, but it's an administrative court.
Okay.
So it's not a U.S. district court by any means.
Okay.
The judges are basically hired by the Department of Justice,
uh-huh,
under the Attorney General. And so, you know, there's always some question about that. We've been pushing for an independent immigration court for years, meaning they'd be Article III judges and wouldn't be hired by the Attorney General.
Right.
But it is a federal court, so we can practice as an immigration lawyer at any of those immigration courts across the country.
Are you concerned that the Department of Justice is being politicized, obviously? And you can call it either way, it doesn't matter. And that these appointed hearing officers, so to speak, are going to walk in with a bias.
Definitely. It happens all the time. We've already seen it over the years, and it's, mm-hmm, something that, you know, will ebb and flow with different changes in administration. And it's something that has been concerning for us for years and years. We've been advocating with Congress to pass a law for an independent immigration court because of it.
You know what? Yeah. I didn't know that we don't have a separate immigration court. I literally just learned that. And yeah. then once again, just like the National
Labor Relations Board. You need for all the volume right now. I mean, over the next 4 years, like, how are you going to handle all this caseload?
Hey, Phil, you need a job?
Yeah.
You're right. You could be a hearing officer.
Seriously.
Do you have to be an attorney to be a hearing officer?
It depends. So if we were talking about like a U.S. immigration officer interviewing for a green card, no. For a judge, qualified? For an immigration judge, yes.
Yes,
you have to be an attorney.
Do you speak Spanish?
I do not. I'm working on it. We have staff, nearly all of our support staff speak Spanish. We have Polish speaking, Ukrainian speaking, Russian speaking. So we have a lot of
Irish?
Language options.
Irish? Well, remember, Irish need not apply.
Yeah.
I mean, they were immigrants, right? Well, we were all immigrants at some point.
Yeah, I think, and it's important, I think, to talk about the fact that in the building trades, immigration law is important because while a lot of people who might not look at this stuff every day might think of immigration as legal or illegal, you have people who come here with visas, worker visas and things like that, that are in the process of trying to become citizens, people who have already become citizens. You have, and they work in the trades. A lot of the, you know, the tile trades, the finish trades, laborers, all the trades have a lot of immigrants, you know, working in them. And these people need protection. They're working every day. They're paying taxes. They're doing all the right things.
It's not just Hispanic, by the way.
Oh, I understand.
Right?
Like you said, I mean, Polish, Eastern European,
sure.
Russian.
Yeah, we have a wide variety. Chicago is one of the most diverse immigrant communities. And I
absolutely.
Actually think a statistic
a
I saw was like 15% of our state labor forces are foreign-born or immigrants. So it is a large percentage of our workforce, yeah.
So what do you think, like, just prognosticate for a quick second, or if you can, like, what are the next year or two look like? I mean, it's scary times right now, right? Raids and, you
they're
know,
building
like,
tents in Guantanamo.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, but people are not going to work, right?
People are not going to work. I talked to a woman the other day who told me, you know, I haven't left my house for 2 weeks, and I, you know, hopefully talked her out of that at least. But it's going to be a scary time for a lot of people, and what I want to encourage people to do is live their life and talk to an immigration lawyer, because I think you'll be surprised to hear that despite the talks of raids and other things going on, you have a lot of rights, you have a lot of protections, and there are things that you probably can do to help yourself.
That's a really good point.
I think deportation levels are actually lower than they were during the Obama administration currently.
Is that right?
We'll see. I mean, obviously,
in his slowest year, Obama had more deportations than Trump's first administration in its busiest year.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's correct. Yes.
So a lot of this, you think, is just talk?
Yeah. It's meant
Can
to scare people.
Yeah.
It's working.
Yeah.
It's doing what they meant it to do. And I think it's unfortunate. But hopefully in the next few months, people will start to realize that and get a little bit more comfortable, and we'll be able to protect them. And
you know,
them.
You make a good point. And so a lot of people will read the news or hear the rumors or, you know, whatever the case may be, and focus on negative, right? Like, oh my God, the glass is half empty. The world is imploding. I'm going to get deported. I'm going to blank, whatever, fill in that blank. And not a lot of people have the wherewithal or the resources or a place to go and go, you know what, maybe I should pick up the phone and call an immigration attorney to talk about this, right? And you're that person.
Yes.
And like you said, people are surprised, because I've talked to some of these people as well, that like, you know what? I woke up this morning, I was just anxious, petrified, et cetera. And by the end of the day, I now understand my rights a little bit better, and I can sleep at night. I know I'm not going to, you know, lose my house and lose my kids and things like that. Lauren, we appreciate you doing. Can you give your phone number again?
Of course. Yeah. And I'll just say the firm name one more time. Kreiselman, Burton & Associates. And the phone number is 312-332-2550.
312-332-2550.
Yes.
And you have Spanish speakers there?
We do. Everyone who answers the phone speaks Spanish.
Oh, that's awesome. Do they speak English?
They also speak English.
Oh, all right. Well, that's also
helpful. Yeah, that's also helpful.
Yeah. All right. Listen, Lauren McClure, partner with
KBNA.
KBNA and M soon. Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for the work that you do. It's really, really important.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. We appreciate it. We will probably be blunt with you, contacting you from time to time over the next, you know, couple of years.
Yeah. Please do.
Couple weeks, couple months.
Yeah. Exactly. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Happy to chat anytime.
Yeah. All right. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Thank you to Lauren McClure. That was really interesting, really cool. If you need her number again, it's 312-332-2550. Give her a shout. You got a question, especially if you're a coalition member,
yeah.
You get free consultation.
Put your mind at ease. It might only take 2 minutes.
For sure.
Yeah. Give yourself some peace.
So, Ed, you talked about, on Worker Wednesday, mm-hmm. right, about the National Labor Relations Board, and then you came in with some news about a position that they might be taking.
I had read that we've talked on this show for months about this insane move by originally from SpaceX.
Yes.
And then brought in Amazon, brought in Trader Joe's, brought in Portillo's, that there's this argument that the National Labor Relations Board is unconstitutional because their judges and their board members cannot just be summarily fired by the president. So the argument against the NLRB here is that it's not constitutional. So this was going to be a showdown in court with the NLRB saying, yeah, we are.
Yeah, of
and
course.
Their opponents saying no. So the NLRB
typically an agency will try to defend itself.
And not in this case,
okay,
Phil,
really?
As it turns out, because with the new leadership that was just appointed, the NLRB is not going to be arguing for its constitutionality. So it's going to lay down and die from the look of it. Unless, and I'm no lawyer here, I'll have to go to the legal wizard in the room, Ken Edwards, but it's my understanding that interested parties, say unions
yes.
or human rights groups or something,
or workers,
can take up this fight for the NLRB if this
behalf.
Went to court. Yeah, but think of how insane this is.
So we
is.
Wouldn't have standing, but you can file what's called an amicus brief, right?
Right.
That says, you know, hey, here's our position and here's why we are an interested party, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of times those briefs carry a lot of weight.
So the NLRB is going to send like an intern to go argue the case.
They'll just be like, you guys are not constitutional.
Actually, it's they might not show up.
Yeah.
Will the NLRB please rise? NLRB? NLRB?
Yeah, it'll just be that guy from My Cousin Vinny who stands up and stutters for 5 minutes and then says, no more questions.
It's funny, but it's not funny.
No, this is the craziest way for a federal agency that protects workers to just, you know, we're going to put people in here who won't defend it. So we'll just let it get taken apart.
Just lie down.
Ed, it seems like sort of like that's the move
like
of the moment.
Taking a dive.
But that's the move of the moment right now, right?
Yeah.
For all these federal agencies where they're going to appoint somebody that's anti that agency.
Yeah.
And then that person's going to gut the agency.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like this whole thing with Elon Musk coming in trying to save the, you know, country money. And I mean, you're going to lay off all these workers, right? You're going to lay off hundreds of thousands of workers.
Yeah.
A, who's going to do the work, right? And
right.
B, like you said, don't take a buyout because there's no such thing as a buyout. Right, they send this email like, go on the vacation that you have always wanted to do.
And
would you go on that vacation and go like, hey, I'm coming back to no job?
And I learned over the weekend that this email that he sent out telling people, you know, you could take this delayed
fork
buyout.
The
subject line was fork in the road. When he bought Twitter and turned it into X, sent out an email with the title fork in the road and said, if you want to stay here and be a rock star, do that.
Right.
And if not, we'll pay you a healthy severance package.
Yeah.
Anybody that didn't do it got laid off 2 days later. There was no severance package.
Yeah.
Is he going to lay off anyone at NASA where basically SpaceX controls NASA missions right now? And he
gets great point.
His company gets billions of dollars.
I just hope those astronauts get home safe.
Right, right.
I really do.
Hey, Phil, you know what else just happened?
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to have to figure this out in terms of getting all this info to the show, and we'll talk about it again. But they just put the kibosh on all these charging stations around the country, right?
Oh.
So cutting off funds for them. Well, guess who benefits from that? Elon does, right?
He does.
So President Musk is going to have to go up against Vice President Trump, and you're like, they're going to have a little war about this, right? Because you just cut off all of his charging stations that charge his electric vehicles.
I
so
know.
It's going to be like two walruses just smacking it out, like on those Trials of Life infomercials.
Yeah. But those things with the horns on, whatever, elks or moose.
Trump's
going
to ask to have his boss for permission. I know. I feel bad for him. That's a tough conversation.
It's
going to be
a little awkward in there.
Let's leave on a positive note.
A positive note
listener
is
of the week.
Listener of the week. Got a shout out to John Z. He is a retired 281 sprinkler fitter. Super good dude. We were chit-chatting the other day about something or other. He called the 800 number. And then, you know, a lot of times I get, hey, are you that guy on the radio? Like, sometimes I'm like, why? Why are you asking?
Yeah.
He's like, I really like your show. I'm like, I am that guy on the radio.
Oh, then it's me, yes.
Yeah, of course it is. Otherwise, it's Phil.
Yeah.
So shout out to John Z, listener of the week, 281 Sprinkler Fitter. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for
everybody. Don't drink and drive tonight, everybody.
That's for sure. Be careful with the Super Bowl.
Enjoy the game.
Yeah, enjoy the game. Go Birds. We'll be back next week with more of The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Worker's Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, and Voya Financial. For additional information and podcasts of The Worker's Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.